This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
A new study identifies how anger, your anger, is harming your heart. Feeling angry constructs blood vessels in unhealthy ways and could raise a person's long-term odds for heart disease, says the new study. So if you're a person who gets angry all the time, you're having chronic injuries to your blood vessels. That's what the doctor says, cardiologist at Columbia University. So you don't want to be angry. No wonder the Bible says, be angry and sin not. It also says, don't let your wrath continue overnight. Take care of it. That means you're going to have to do some forgiveness. And it may mean that forgiveness might have something to do with your future health. Maybe even dementia. How about holding hands? A new study says that holding hands is good for your health. When people feel they're under attack, holding hands calms parts of the brain, especially the prefrontal cortex. It might actually protect a little bit against dementia. You know, one of the things I like to see couples holding hands. Maybe you do too. It's very heartwarming, isn't it? I always love to hold my wife's hand going all the way back. Well, as of a week from now, it'll be 61 years of holding Kathy's hand. And there was a song that says, I want to hold your hand. Well, there's a reason for that. Holding hands is a very important thing. And hand-holding can also start oxytocin production, which helps people feel closer and more connected to each other and reduces cortisol response to stress. It's amazing, these simple things, friends, that can affect and change our health. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about health. We're going to be talking about our lives, how to live abundantly well, according to our guest today, who is joining us for the first time, Chimaine Nugent. And we're going to be weaving a whole lot of things in today. So it might be fairly fast-paced, and you might want to really connect in, because we're going to talk about a lot of things that could very well touch areas of your life that are troubling. Now, one of the things we're finding is that people are aging. Have you noticed that all over the world? All over the world, people are aging. In fact, the entire population of the world is aging. One of the reasons for that is not only that we're growing older, that people grow older, but also that we're having fewer and fewer children. All over the whole Western world, there are not enough children being born to replace the population, including in the United States of America. Why is that? I thought children were supposed to be a blessing from the Lord. That's what the Bible told us. But apparently we have other ideas about it. Maybe those other ideas are actually changing our health, even in our families. Just thinking out loud with you. And by the way, would you be interested to know that eating dark chocolate might be one of the best things that you could do? Well, I'm not talking about eating a pound of dark chocolate a day or even once a week, but eating dark chocolate, come to find out, is one of the best sources of flavanols and is good for your brain and good for your heart. That should be encouraging to you as we talk today on Viewpoint, a conversation that always is confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. And here we are today talking about our health. We need to focus on something other than politics, other than all of the intensity out there. So for some people, though, focusing on our health might feel kind of intense because a lot of people have health problems. So regardless of what your age is here today, whether you're in your 30s, your 60s, or over 70, there's something here for you today, and I hope you'll stay tuned. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation as Always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today will be no exception with our special guest, Chimaine Nugent, looking at her vibrant picture here on the front of her brand-new book, Abundantly Well. What do you mean by abundantly well, Chimaine?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Chuck. I'm sorry, but I'm busy eating my chocolate for the day.
Oh! Now, it's not milk chocolate, though, right?
No, dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, absolutely.
I am I am a chocoholic, and I am right there with you.
But all right.
Being abundantly well to me is not just about looking good in a bikini, which you're not going to see me in or anybody else. It means my mind, body, and spirit. And,
all right.
You know, you could look great. You could go to the gym and work out 2-3 hours a day every day and eat clean and perfect. But if you're miserable inside, it's about what you just said earlier. If you harbor anxiety and anger in your heart and mind, and when people say things to you, it feels like Mike Tyson, you know, might have punched you in the gut. That has an effect on us physically as well. So I think being abundantly well covers all of those things, mind, body, and
spirit. Well, you know, a lot of people would say, well, I don't agree with the prosperity message that some people talk about. But God does want us to prosper. He wants us to be in health, even as our soul prospers. But we're not here talking about gaining lots of money. We're not here to live on the high life. We're talking about basic living. We're talking about not survival, but living strong, healthy, and vibrant lives so that we can accomplish what God would have us to do on this planet. To me, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
I agree. I've been to Africa, South Africa many times. And I remember the first time I went,
Shemaine, I'm losing. You're breaking up terribly.
Window.
Much better.
Can you hear me now?
Better. Uh-huh.
Okay. I've been to South Africa many times, and there's an interesting story. When we were there once, I stayed with Dr. Rocco Joya, who owned a 50,000-acre tomato ranch, and the workers there lived at his ranch, and see them working clothes every day. And I asked our host, do the workers look at us with our fancy clothes and fancy cameras and fancy jewelry, and are they jealous of all the things that we have? And he said, no, they feel sorry for you because you need so many things.
Hyper-dependency, okay.
I think that's true, because when it comes down to it, you know, a healthy man or woman has many wishes, 100 different wishes. An unhealthy man or woman has only one, and that's to get healthy.
Well, they say that our health is one of the most precious things that we have, and if you don't have health, wealth doesn't mean much.
Exactly. And after I got sick and almost died from toxic mold between the walls of my home that was once featured on MTV Cribs, I realized that there's nothing more important than being able to, I'll never forget, my son was in seventh grade at the time, and I got so sick, I had 4 different types of mold in my bloodstream.
Ouch.
And also diagnosed with having pre-emphysema, and I don't smoke. I was a fitness instructor. And I remember thinking how daunting it was to get out of bed and to drive to his school and to watch him run. And I'm looking at the pictures outside going, how in the world am I going to climb those steps?
We're going to have to hear more about that after the break. Hang in there, Shemaine. Friends, we're talking with Shemaine Nugent concerning how to live abundantly well. I hope you want to do that.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
God wants you healthy. He wants us to prosper in order to be able to carry out his purposes. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is going to be exactly healthy, is going to have everything that you think you want or need. But God wants us to have everything that we need, that he thinks that we need in order to accomplish his purposes and have an abundance for every good work. That's God's plan. And it's not about hyper-prosperity. It's about living. It's about living for the Lord. It's about living faithfully. It's about living consistently before the Lord. One of the problems that people have is they don't live consistently. They're bingers. People are binge drinkers, they're binge smokers, they're binge eaters, they're binge exercisers, they're binge everything. Everything is binging. That's not God's plan, that's not his will, it's not his ways. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be dependable. He wants us to be, well, to have lives that demonstrate the consistency of our faith and of our commitment to him and of our willing to exercise self-control. All right. So with all of that having been said, our special guest today, Chimene Nugent, who is sharing with us not only her experience as she started to do with regard to the hyper mold attack that attacked her terribly years ago, but also she has been a fitness instructor now for about 45 years. Believe it or not, looking at the picture on the front of her book, she says just 2 years old. You wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it, but it's Chimene Nugent, and she says she has a special meaning for her name. What is it?
I do. My meaning comes from the movie El Cid with Sophia Loren. It was Sophia Loren's character's name.
All right, Chimene, I have to ask you a question. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes. You want me to?
We cannot do that anymore. Okay. It's just not clear.
Is this better? Is that better at all?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, good. I want to make sure your message gets across. Okay.
Me too.
So you said something about Chimene. Where does it connect with? Your name? Hello?
That was her name in the movie. Can you hear me?
We're back to the same confusion in the signal.
Oh, you know, there's one other way I can call you back on FaceTime audio. Would that work?
You can give it a shot. I'll fill into the gap. Call us right back. Thank you. Okay, well, we're giving it a shot here with our guest, Chimene Nugent, international fitness instructor, and her book, Abundantly Well. It's a hardbound book. I think you're going to find it very fascinating because it doesn't just weigh in on one thing. It actually has 40 different short chapters that help us to capture the vision for what we can do in so many, many different ways. It's a $30 hardbound book, and it's yours for $24. It's on our website, saveus.org. Abundantly Well, on our website, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. All right, Chimene, let's go back to your mold issue. It sounds pretty moldy to me. But, you know, we have in Richmond, Virginia, we've had a lot of water, we've had a lot of rain, and a lot of humidity. And I notice a lot of mushroom growth, fungus growth, even in our yard, growing up spectacularly. Well, that same kind of thing can happen inside the walls of your house, under your house, and so on, can't it?
Yeah, and that's what we're really talking about. I wrote a couple of books about toxic mold. And we're talking about the air quality within your home, between the walls of your home. There's 1,000 different types of mold outside, but you shouldn't have mushrooms growing on the carpet inside your home.
That would be pretty scary.
Yeah, and that's actually happened to people.
Well, how do you know that there's going to be mold inside? When we moved into this new house, it's not a new house, but when we moved into it, we discovered that there was a problem of water being maintained underneath the house, coming in regularly, and it cost us an arm and a leg to have a complete encapsulation underneath the house in order to keep away from any mold, any of that kind of growth, because it's dangerous, isn't it?
It is. There are so many different symptoms you could have. I had debilitating migraines, brain fog, and upper respiratory problems, and digestive problems, and skin problems, and so many things. And here I was teaching group fitness classes. I should have been the walking poster child for health and fitness, and I wasn't. I was sick and almost dying. And that led me to discovering that our home was contaminated between the walls. We never saw anything. We just kept getting sicker and sicker. So, yes, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, your body will tell you. If you're having symptoms, for example, at your home, and let's say you go on a vacation and you feel great. Of course, you're on a vacation, but you come back to the house and you start getting the same symptoms again.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good indication that there's something wrong, but you could also have your home tested. But here's the number one, I think, thing that you should be doing is if you have a water leak and you have a porous substance like drywall or sheetrock, wherever you're from, and you have a lack of ventilation, you will have mold.
Well, mold is a devastating thing, and it's kind of like a silent killer. You don't realize what it's doing. You don't see it necessarily. It's lurking in dark places, kind of like sin, isn't it?
Yes, and I write about that as well, because as you know,
we're still, now we're starting to break up again.
Isn't it funny? Technology works when you want it to.
It's not just modest breaking up, it's serious breaking up. Can you get on a landline? Call us back from a landline, please. Thank you. Oh, wow. I think she might have mold on her phone line. It's unfortunate when we're dealing with cell phones and so on. As many of you know, they're not dependable. They're dependable only to a certain level. But when you try to do radio and television with cell phones, you got to be very, very careful. And so in any event, we're working through it here. And we need to hear what Shemaine has to say, because she's been an expert 45 years. She's been dealing in helping people, a fitness instructor, international fitness instructor. And we don't want to miss out on what she has to say. Also, you don't want to miss out, because her book is going to contain so many, 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 many different things. It's going to talk about, it does talk about not only exercise, but the kind of food that we can eat, should forgive, and forgiveness. Did you know that forgiveness is so essential that Jesus said, if you will not forgive others their trespass against you, neither will he forgive you? That's pretty serious, because you know what? Lacking forgiveness poisons our minds, poisons our bodies, poisons everything in us. We just cannot afford not to forgive. Now, to forgive doesn't mean you forget. Even God forgives, but he doesn't forget. His mind is eternal. He doesn't forget. He just doesn't hold our sin against us when we confess our sin. He forgives and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the idea of forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not holding something against someone, because if you hold something against someone else and you don't forgive, neither can God extend his forgiveness to you, because, well, you don't value it. You think you're entitled, but you're not. We need his mercy. Well, that's another thing that we need. We also need exercise. Now, my wife found a very interesting little sign. It's a cute little sign, and it says, whenever I hear the word exercise, I wash my mouth out with chocolate. Well, you know, we don't really do that. On the other hand, she doesn't thrill with the word exercise. Exercise. Well, exercise is something outside what we normally do just in walking or in breathing or feeding ourselves and so on. It's outside, X, exercise, and we need it. In fact, in this day and age, we need it terribly, don't we? In this day and age, we need all the exercise we can get because our lives are relatively sedentary. They just are. We drive around in cars. We don't walk very much, and we need that exercise. And Shemaine is back with us. I'm so glad, Shemaine.
Let's try this again.
Yeah, there we go. Now, since we're talking about exercise, I told the listeners about my wife's little plaque. Says, whenever I hear the word exercise, I wash my mouth out with chocolate.
And... oh, there you go.
Well, it's okay to wash your mouth out with chocolate, but you need to do the exercise first. So why is it that exercise is so important?
Exercise really, you know, there's that old saying, a body in motion stays in motion. And it's true, because if we exercise our body, it does so many different things, mm-hmm. but it helps regulate our temperature, regulate our hormones.
Right.
And also there's a feel good hormone that is released and endorphins that are released in the body. And you know what, for me, if I start my day out with exercise and eating right, then everything else falls into place. I'm less likely mm-hmm. to go for a bag of chips, and I'm more likely to be calm and centered.
All right, so exercise is not just about our physical body. It affects our emotions. It affects the chemical makeup of our bodies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I'm grateful that I had exercise. I think that's why I recovered so quickly from toxic mold exposure and all the different illnesses that I had,
mm-hmm.
is the number one thing was sweating. I love to exercise and sweat. But when you're sweating, you're releasing toxins.
Uh-huh.
And we all have toxic buildup, toxic load, whether it's from pollution or the food that we eat. Even if you're eating salads, there's a level of toxicity in pesticides and chemicals and some of those
well,
things.
Well, sure.
And we've got to release them. And one of the best ways is through sweating and through exercise.
I'm looking at your picture, Shemaine. I mean, you're a pretty lady here. I would never believe that you love to sweat.
I do. Oh, my gosh, I do. And one other thing you probably wouldn't recognize about me just by looking at that picture on the cover of my book, I used to race motocross.
No.
Yes.
What
yes,
are you,
I
some
did.
Sort of hardcore chick?
Well, you know what? I think my parents did one thing, they did a lot of things right, but one of the things that they did was try to get me involved in a lot of different activities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, you know, for kids, I think it's so important. You look at our children today and they're looking down at their phone.
Yes.
When I was growing up, we would be outside in the summertime until the lights came on.
Right.
You recall those days? And
right.
then we had to be inside.
Well, that was the fountain of youth, right?
Yes, but we don't do that anymore. And what a shame
yep.
that our children are tied to these social media devices and not getting fresh air and exercise.
Well, more and more, it's considered to be an addiction. And not only is it defiling their minds and their hearts and their time, but it's also affecting their ability to concentrate, their ability to actually form relationships,
yes.
and all of that has an effect on your well-being, doesn't it?
And to communicate with one another.
Exactly.
You know, you look at some kids, one of the things that my husband impressed upon our son is when you meet somebody, I don't care who they are, if it's the president, which we've met,
mm-hmm.
if it's the president or the guy, the farmer next door, you shake their hand firmly and you look into their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not taught anymore, is it, Chuck?
No, it isn't. Those relationships are just not there. And they all go into the whole composite of what it means to live a healthy and relational life. And that's what we're talking about. That's what your book is about. Not handshaking so much, but there are 40 different small chapters to help us get a much bigger picture of what it means to truly be healthy and vibrant in our lives. Abundantly Well, friend, that's the title of the book on our website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
We want to be healthy. We want to be able to do what God would have us to do. We want to be able to do it and continue to do it till God gives us the breath to fulfill his purposes until his kingdom comes or until he takes us home. But we don't want to go home too early. We want to be able to live in health even as our soul prospers. But some people's soul doesn't prosper. It just doesn't prosper very well even though they claim to be Christians. One of the reasons is they're not following the ways of the Lord. Just not following the ways of the Lord. They think they can follow their feelings, the dictate of their feelings at any given moment, and there's no self-control. And without self-control, something else is going to gain control. What do you say, Shemaine?
I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. And for me, exercise is the key because exercise puts you in motion that and sets you up for success.
Yes.
And that's when we talk about success, I don't mean, you know, just financial success, but there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I want to make more money so I can give more money away and spend and hire more people and provide jobs.
Well, if you don't have health, if you don't have strength, if you don't have dynamo, how are you going to give anything to anybody else? I'm not
exactly
talking about money. I'm talking about yourself.
Exactly. If we aren't healthy, we cannot continue to do God's good work. And we're called to each one of us have gifts,
mm-hmm.
and we're called to utilize that. And if we're stuck at home because we're sick or we have a headache day after day after day, like I used to get migraine, that's no way to live.
No.
And, you know, it's so important. God wants us to be healthy. And I think that's what life is really about, is to share our health with other people and encourage other people as a mm-hmm. fitness instructor. Not only that, but I know once I got sick and was nearly dying, I realized that life is so precious. And when you have the opportunity to regain your health after having a life-threatening illness,
mm-hmm.
you realize that every breath is so meaningful. Every breath is so important and so special, and you don't take it for granted.
Right.
And that's what I want to impress with people, that you know, there are so many different ways that we can get distracted, and isn't that the truth, Chuck? Getting distracted, keeping our eyes on, focused on God. And when we're focused on our health with, it, again, a headache or a sore throat or whatever, we're being distracted.
Well, speaking of distracted, we want to keep our minds and our hearts fixed on the Lord. Then
yes.
It seems to me that the way to begin that is early in the morning. The scripture says
yes.
In the Psalms, early in the morning, will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up. And that's exactly what a true follower of Christ should do. And we want to keep our focus on him. He says, attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings, because they're going to be health to your navel. The Bible specifically says that the word of God is going to be health to us. And so if we really understood that and we really believed it, see, the problem is we read things like that or we'll hear somebody talk about it, but then we won't do it. We're not doers of the word. We're hearers only. And so we deceive our own selves, and then we can't understand why some people seem to be so vibrant in their faith and in their life and others aren't. I think a lot of the reason is because they just don't get it. They don't start right in the day, spending quality time with the word, with the Lord, and even with their spouse.
I agree, and I also think that, you know, there are so many people who have different challenges and different seasons. The Bible talks about having different seasons in life. I'm in a different season right now that I'm 63, mm-hmm. rather than I was when I was a young mother, and I had to focus on my son. I had to have strength and energy and health to focus on my son, to give up myself so that I could make sure that he had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and he was at all the places from school to after-school activities that he needed to be.
Right.
And all of those things, going back and forth to school 10 times a day or whatever it is.
Ouch.
That takes energy.
It sure does. It sure does, and there are different seasons. My wife and I are in a season right now that both she and I attest is probably the best season of our life. You know, we have three daughters, and they all have their problems, different situations of their children and the family. And only by incidents do we carry those burdens, sometimes with grief and some with joy. But now we have 10 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren. But our life together, we hold hands. We spend time together. The very first thing we do in the morning is to spend time with the Lord, reading the scriptures together, talking about it, applying it, and praying. That's the very first thing we do before we do anything else. And my wife says, you know what? That is the most important thing we have ever done in our lives. We've been doing it for 30 years now. It took us a long time to get there, but it's made a huge difference. You think it would make a difference in people's health?
Oh, absolutely. When we focus on God, you know, we all face challenges. And some, again, there's seasons, some more than others.
Well, I'm looking at you. I don't think you face any challenges. You got it all made in the shade, right?
No, au contraire. you know, my mother had a stroke recently, and I was so grateful for those moments that I had health to go drive and visit her in the hospital and visit her in the rehab and help her. And again, going back to health, if you don't have your health, you can't help other people. And, you know, those things, when you have somebody in your life that you love and they're not well, they have a car accident or a stroke or a heart attack or whatever it is, it's physically and emotionally exhausting and taxing on you.
Right.
And that's what I mean by challenges. We all face challenges, whether it's a financial burden. But when we have the opportunity, and it's hard, like when you're going through something, and I've written about this, I wrote about a challenge that I had in my marriage. When you're going through the eye of the storm, it's easy for other people to kind of direct you, but you're the only one that can navigate that ship and figure out how to get through the squalls and the wind and the rain coming from every direction, and you're just thrown from side to side and up and down. And, you know, what somebody is going through, each one of us has a different challenge, has a different season that they're going through. And sometimes why we're here, I think, is to help other people with their challenges and to plant those seeds.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Yes.
That is what we're doing right now. We're encouraging. We're discipling for destiny. We're helping people. We're coaching. Isn't that what we're doing right now, Shanine?
Yes, I totally agree, and I'm grateful to have this opportunity to reach more people and to help encourage them. And, you know, I want to say my book is not just for the person who has worked out or anything that I do. I'm all over social media, and I hope I come across as being very humble, because I don't come from a perspective that I haven't made. And I hope nobody thinks that I do, because I've had challenges that other people probably never will, and vice versa.
Right.
But I want to share what I've learned with other people from being in the fitness industry for 45 years. I've learned a thing or two. I've learned what works and what doesn't work. And, but you know, by the picture, I have been able to maintain my weight actually for, I guess it's 50 some years.
Wow.
And there's a few reasons, and I want to share that.
Well, let's talk about it right now.
Great.
Go ahead.
I want to make sure that people understand, if you've never worked out and you're 50, 60, and I'm speaking specifically to women.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is for a lot of, for everybody too.
Right.
For women who have given themselves to their children and they wake up one day and go, wow, I'm 10, 20, 30 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
I've never worked out because I have been focusing on my children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to start. I want to be your cheerleader. I want to walk alongside you. And I want to share some of the simple things that you can do
mm-hmm.
that will change your life. It doesn't have to be going out and running a marathon tomorrow.
Or running out to the gym for an hour every day.
Right. It's little things. I was on a flight one time where I was sitting in the back and I heard these flight attendants behind in the galley. I couldn't see what they were doing, but I heard them counting to 20. And then they come and walk along the aisles and everything. And, and then a few minutes later, they go back behind the galley and they count to 20. And after three or four times, I had to get up and see what they were doing. And they were doing squats.
Huh.
So
okay.
you can exercise in the pockets of your time.
Right.
You can park your car a little bit further away.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the stairs instead of the elevator or the escalator. And you can make simple changes, food changes. Eliminate the chemicals and pesticides in your air, or in your food source.
Mm-hmm.
And that will also contribute to an overall feeling and relief in your body, in your mind and spirit.
Yeah. One of the things that has come to my attention through what I do here and exposing myself to so many studies and so on that come across the airwaves, and that is to understand what resistance training does. And I hate to use the word training, whether we call it weights, you don't even have to use weights per se to do it, but resistance, especially for women, what we're learning is that resistance is one of the most important things to keep strong bones and also to energize the rest of your health. And if you aren't getting that regular resistance, if you're not engaging in that, whether it means going upstairs regularly, whether it means picking up a dumbbell and doing 10 curls with it or whatever it is, those things are going to be critically important for ladies, aren't they?
Yeah, and this is interesting that you bring that up because, like I said, I've been in the fitness industry since 1980.
Wow.
I've traveled all over the world. I created programs, developed programs.
Mm-hmm.
I trained thousands and thousands of instructors all over the world.
Wow.
And I've never done this one thing that I just started doing, and that is focusing on strength training and
mm-hmm.
less cardio as I age.
Right.
And I think that's really important. I've seen a change in my body.
Yep.
I've seen my muscle tone increase and my fat, overall fat layer decrease.
Mm-hmm.
I have more strength and energy. I'm getting stronger and I'm seeing the numbers and I feel better.
Yeah. Well, it also has to do with connecting to protein and what you're eating or not eating in terms of protein.
Yep.
We'll talk about that when we get back, friends. There's so much that we could talk about. You got to get a copy of her book, Abundantly Well. $24 will put it in your hands on our website, saveus.org.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Consistency is the most important word for health. Consistency. It's also the most important word for our life with the Lord, our spiritual health, consistency. People binge this, binge that. They get all hyped up about this, that, or the other. and they think, oh, wow, I've got this new program and so on. It's not about programs, friends. It's about performance consistently. And I'm thinking back, you were talking about cardio. And cardio is important, and that running and that kind of thing, building up steam like that. But it's not nearly as important as people make it out to be. Some people think that cardio is everything. Other people think that weight training and building muscles is everything. The reality is it's both and, isn't it?
Well, you've got to have balance. Just like we have to have balance in our lives, we have to have balance. We have to do cardio. We have to do strength training, and we have to stretch. You've probably seen, you know, big, bulky men or women, and they can't even bring their arms down to their sides. Their chests are concave because they've overworked their chest muscles and haven't worked their upper back muscles. So you've got to have balance in all areas of your body. And especially as we age, you hear about people slipping and falling and breaking a hip or whatever.
Hey, be careful. Be careful. Yours truly just took a bad fall 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Well, I missed a step in a very unusual kind of situation. People looked at it and said, I can understand how that happened, but it wasn't funny.
Well, I know. I understand that. I'm so sorry. But that, and my dad, years ago, my dad fell going up the stairs. He didn't fall down the stairs. He fell going up.
His name isn't Joe Biden, is it?
No. But this is what happens when we're, I have to tell you a funny story. So Mother's Day, my husband and my son and my daughter-in-law took me out for brunch, and I got all dressed up, and I had nice dress on and little heels, what they call kitten heels, like maybe, you know, inch and a half little heels.
Okay.
But I'm walking across the floor from where we were sitting down to get up in the restaurant and go to the bathroom. And there was water on the floor. I didn't see
it.
And I was walking in my fancy dress and everything, and I slipped, and I literally, my legs started splitting like I'm doing the split.
Oh, my.
Do you know what I did, Chuck? I pulled my legs back together, and I stood back up and kept walking. I'm like, did anybody see that? That was awesome.
Wow, full recovery.
Did somebody videotape that? Like, I didn't even miss a beat.
Wow.
That's why we should work out. I don't work out to look good. I work out to feel good.
Yeah.
So I can be strong. I can be the grandma jumping on the trampoline, doing backflips with my grandkids.
Ooh.
And you know what? I am.
Okay. Well, not very many people your age are going to be out there doing backflips at 63. On the other hand, there are things that we can do. One of the things that I have dedicated myself to over the years, since I was 18 years of age, I have a modest weight workout that I do. Now, I've changed the amount of the weight a bit, reduced it a bit, because from 18 to 80 is a whole different ballgame. But I do it three times a week. And I do the same thing. It keeps strong. It keeps body shape. It enables me to be vigorous, to do what I need to do. And then I can go out and do other things, work in the yard, do all those kinds of things to keep vigorous. And it's not that you have to do a lot. It's that you have to be consistent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I've been able to maintain my weight is because I do enjoy working out, but I don't do the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one. We've got to increase the intensity, the frequency, or the duration with which we work out. So not just, you know, if you want to lose, let's say you want to lose weight, you want to lose 10 pounds, and you start running every day, and you notice you drop weight pretty quickly. But then you plateau.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the body, there's a principle of adaptation where the body responds to physical, it adapts to physical stress.
Homeostasis, right.
So you have to increase the intensity, run a little harder, the frequency, run more often, or the duration, run a little bit longer.
Or change the diet.
And, you know, eat clean. I'm on the 80-20 diet. I don't even know if that's the real thing or not, but I talk about that in my book. 80% of what I eat is clean. 20%, I like Fritos. I'm going to be honest.
Okay. The regular Fritos, right?
Yeah.
You got that, sister.
And yeah, the regular ones, not with all the chemicals.
Right,
in it.
Okay.
And I do food swaps, and I talk about that in my book. I think it's really important.
Okay, now, when we talk about weight loss, we've been talking about that, but there are foods that suppress appetite. I have a number of those listed here. Almonds, ginger, avocados, eggs, sweet potatoes, dark chocolate. All of these are helpful. Cinnamon and salmon. All of these are very helpful in suppressing appetite, making us feel fuller. And one of the things that I have discovered is that protein is a very important aspect, and you can't just get it through veggies.
Oh, no, you have to. I'm a hunter. I don't know if you know that. I'm a bow hunter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You would like to see all the bows that I have then.
You do. You have bows?
Recurve bows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a bow hunter for 36 years, and I shoot a compound bow. I shoot a Martin bow.
I figure you did.
Matthews bow, yeah. But I think it's really important. I started doing this for my overall health. I've had digestive problems.
Mm.
And for me, I started doing more protein, more ketogenic type diet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep track of macros or micros or anything else.
Right, exactly.
I eat for, and I think this is really important for your audience, if you and I agree, everybody should be eating more protein, and let's say salmon. But if they have a reaction, an allergic reaction, that's not going to be good. So
right.
I think each one of us has to discover what works best for us. For me, I eat a lot of protein.
Yeah. Eggs are one of the best. It's said to be the most complete protein. I don't like eggs in every form. If I'm going to have a fried egg, it's got to be smashed and crashed and cooked to the max. I like scrambled eggs. If they're well scrambled and mixed with a bunch of other stuff, I like omelets and so on. But I don't like soft eggs, and I don't like boiled eggs. So decide what you like. And eggs are complete proteins, and what they have is the ability to give you endurance during over a period of time that other foods don't do. That's what I've discovered.
I love eggs. We have chickens, so I get a lot of eggs.
Mm.
And I feed eggs to my dogs. My dogs love them as well.
Mm.
So it's really, for me, again, I have access to eggs, and there's a difference between, you know, free-range eggs and chickens and versus store-bought. But whatever you can get a hold of in abundance, I agree. I think eggs are, for me, I like them soggy. I like them a little runny.
Oh, that's my wife. Don't tell me. You know, from a child, whenever I saw eggs that had that little string thing, and I called them ging-gongs, yes. I said, don't give me that. I'm not going to eat it. Okay, eggs are good for you,
eggs
notwithstanding what doctors tried to tell us in the 1970s that you were going to get all kinds of cholesterol. Now they're reversing all of that and saying, no, that ain't true.
Remember when we couldn't eat the yolks?
I know.
Oh, you don't want to eat the yolks.
And yet the yolks have some of the greatest nutrients in them.
Yes. Everything, it's like everything that they told us, this is a whole nother podcast, but everything they told us was a lie.
Yeah. In other words, Dr. Fauci's science is science is science is not true.
I would like to know what his definition of science is.
Exactly. All right. Now, you talk about reimagining aging, and we've sort of danced around that a little bit. But,
I'm a good dancer, Chuck.
Well,
a really good dancer.
That's fine. I don't
Go
dance
ahead.
At all. And I don't dance around the truth either. That's why we focus here hard on the truth on this program.
Good.
But
good.
You're a dancer. I'm not. And so we're talking about when you're past 60, 60 is the new 40.
Yeah.
40 used to be over the hill. Now 60 is over the hill. And so we're moving forward. So what would be your recommendation to our listeners today? If you were to distill, say, two or three things in the next 3 minutes, what would you say?
The number one most important thing is move your body. And
mm-hmm.
it looks different. If I said you could only run, that's not going to work for everybody. If I said you could only do Zumba to lose weight, that's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
So find a thing that makes your heart sing, and then mix it up.
That's not picking up your cell phone, though.
Right. No. I'm talking about exercise. Swimming and walking and running and jump roping and doing things that fit into your lifestyle, riding a bicycle, weight training, and then mix it up. You should do strength training, stretching, and cardiovascular. But I want to share, if you do strength training in a way that you're what they call supersetting, you're doing several different sets, you're going to get your heart rate elevated. So, like I said, I have backed way down on my cardio, and I've really increased and focused on my strength training.
Yeah. Okay, now, you don't have to go out to the gym, and you don't have to have a gym membership.
No.
So what can you equip yourself with right there in your home? I have a little mini gym in our home that I use for my purposes, and I've tried to equip my wife with some basic things that would help her, even though she doesn't like to do exercise. So what do you recommend?
Push-ups, sit-ups, squats.
Okay, well, right there. You got resistance all the way around, right?
Yep.
Everything is resistance, and you're building against resistance. And do you know that's how we build faith?
Yeah.
You can't build your faith unless you have resistance.
That's right.
So in other words, you have to have a trial to have a testimony.
I think so. And the Bible tells us that those people who have trials should be considered blessed.
Mm-hmm. Because then we have a testimony. Yes. Count it all joy when you're faced with many adversities and trials. Where it's going to work patience in your life, and patience is going to bring perfection in your life. That's what God wants us to do, and this is the real life that we're called today. You have a little thing on the front of your book, 40 Days to a Slimmer, Healthier You. It's not just about slimming down. It's about really becoming consistent with God's expectations that we truly live as people that are living according to His ways and health, and not just following some other program out there, right?
And it's also about having grace. You know, we're all perfect humans. We've all sinned. None of us have the ultimate workout program or diet or exercise or even mindset. And it's also about giving yourself grace. Start where you're at, but start.
Well, you know what grace really is? Grace is God's enabling power to equip and enable us to do His will. That's really what grace is. It's not overlooking our sin, but it's actually enabling us to do what He wants us to do. And His grace is sufficient for us if we want to live abundantly well, isn't it?
I agree.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Sorry we had all those problems with the sound level there, but we finally worked it out. And it's kind of like, you know, even with all the things we're talking about, it takes some working out. Sometimes things don't seem to go all that well.
There you go.
I remember 8 years ago, I ended up having to have a hip replacement, and it eliminated a lot of the cardio that I did. I used to run a little bit every morning, and I couldn't do it anymore because it put too much pressure. And so I have to have other ways in order to accomplish those things. We all have those things that we have to accommodate to. And friends, this book is going to be so helpful to you, Abundantly Well. Bible-based wisdom for weight loss, increased energy, and vibrant health. It's a $30 hardbound book with a beautiful picture of our guest on the front. You'll be encouraged by that. She'll inspire you. And it's $24. We'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Become a partner, friends. Remember, we don't have any advertising on this program. There's a reason. Because it would cut off our ability to say what God would have us to say in so many different areas. So you become a partner. Do it today. Don't delay. Go to the website, saveus.org. Become a partner. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And whatever you do, in everything, in word and deed, be faithful to the Lord and be consistent to do His will.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.